Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
We were just talking. I feel sorry for Richard Seymour. You talk about going from the penthouse to the outhouse. Would you be depressed if you found yourself in his situation? You know, a nice new house, family going to school, winning organization, a chance to win every single game, a chance to go to the Super Bowl every single season, and now you're going to Oakland where you got no shot.
Well, I'm sure those guys don't feel they have no shot, but... You know, things change very fast, and they change for all of us. And whether they changed for me quite a bit last year at the first regular season game, they changed for Richard, they changed for guys this past weekend. And the reality is, you got to learn to adjust, and that's just the way it is. This football is unconditional love. You know, it's tough in a lot of ways because you develop the relationships with your teammates, and these are your friends and your family, and that you spend more time with these guys than you spend with your own family. And, you know, a guy like Richard, who's meant so much to the organization after, you know, being here for going on his ninth season and three championships and being a team captain, and he's just a wonderful person, so... You know, he is a professional. I know that, and he works very hard, and he's going to bring a lot to that organization. So as much as we'll miss him, I mean, they're getting a great player.
And you have a locker room full of professionals there, so I know that in a vacuum and in a perfect world, this won't have an effect on how guys go about their job. But in the real world, Tom, in the real world of that locker room, do personnel moves like this that hit at the heart of relationships and captaincy and leadership and all those kinds of things affect the way players play and feel about an organization?
Well, everybody's in a different situation in the locker room, and I think when you subscribe to being a part of a team, you subscribe to what's in the best interest of the team. And my role as a quarterback is not to make personnel moves. It's not to, you know, determine whether those personnel moves were right for the team or not right for the team. My job is just to show up and do the best I can do. And I think that's really stressed. And that's not only in football. I mean, that's in everybody's job. I mean, that's, unless you're the one writing the check, I mean, you really don't have a lot of say in much. And it's a different reality, I think, for us athletes because, you know, our entire life we've been the ones that, you know, we did call the shots. Even in Little League Baseball, if we wanted to pitch, we pitched. If we wanted to, you know, if we wanted to play point guard, we played point guard. If we wanted to shoot the ball, we shot the ball because, you know, it's just we were always probably the better of the athletes on the team. But, you know, when you get to professionals, like, and even in college to a degree, but still we were all the best players on our college teams also. But it's just a very different environment when you get to the professional level. And we're all concerned, you know, our goals are the team goals. And at the same time, you know, you've got to understand that what's best for the team isn't always what's best for you as a player. And it's a real fine line because you want to feel the commitment and the loyalty to the team, but you got to understand it doesn't go both ways, and that's okay because, you know, we're getting a lot out of it as well. And I think having the opportunity to win, the opportunity to play and improve as a player, you know, those are all things that, you know, being in the situation that we are in with the Patriots, it's, you know, there's nothing more you could really ask for.
You know, I was stunned when I heard the news. I'm sitting in front of the computer. I couldn't believe it. Most Patriots fans were stunned. And I'm wondering, Tom, how did you react? How did you find out, and what was your initial reaction when you heard the news?
Well, I got a call from Dan Copen, who was at the stadium. I was driving down, and he told me. So, you know, we as players, we adjust too. So it's I guess they don't surprise me anymore because I've been here for so long. It's kind of like, wow, you know, it was really unexpected. And I think it was probably unexpected for all of us because, you know, Richard's been out there every day and he's been starting the games and, you know, but like I said, that's not something that we focus on in our job. We're not worried about, you know, the 53-man roster. We're worried about, you know, hey, what can I do to be prepared to help the team to win. And, you know, those are the tough decisions that every coach has. Now, there's 32 coaches across the league that had really tough decisions to make. But this I know, was a tough one for Coach Belichick.
I said this earlier, Tom. I don't think, of those 32 coaches, I don't think there's another one that would make this move. I mean, they are, as coaches, they're only concerned about the next game, and you're trading a player, a starter, a pro bowler, for a future pick, you know, down the road. And it just seems like something that most coaches wouldn't even consider. And you always speak highly of Belichick. Is this one of the reasons, the fact that he has the guts and the foresight to make a move like this?
Yeah, I mean, I think Coach Belichick, he's an incredible coach, and he's an incredible motivator, and he's able to get everybody to buy in to what is best for the team. And I think over the years, I've gained so much confidence in what he does because they turn out right. You know, yeah. The decisions turn out right, and what he says usually happens, whether it's on the field or off the field, when it's an off season or when it's in season. We had Coach Rivers from the Celtics come in and talk to our team yesterday, which was really fascinating. And I think Coach Belichick, you know, is different type of coach than Coach Rivers, but they both find ways to motivate the players and in order to buy into that team concept. And that's, I think every player that comes to our team, they buy in pretty quickly just because it works. And there's things that are frustrating at times about being a part of it, but in the end of the day, I've seen a lot of players leave the organization and not be as productive as they were when they were here. And I've seen guys come from other organizations that become much more productive than they've ever been. So that tells me that even though I haven't had the chance to be in another organization, that, you know, how Coach Belichick runs the team and how Mr. Kraft runs the franchise, you know, they got the track record and they got it right.
And yet you still have to overcome what everybody believes to be true. In fact, I don't think anybody in that facility, Tom, including Coach Belichick, thinks the team is better today getting ready for opening night Monday night than you were before Richard was traded. But what you have to do, I guess, is what you're saying, is buy into the long-term viability of what they're doing. You've already won 3 Super Bowls. This is to keep you competitive and at the upper echelon in the NFL for years and years to come. And I suppose that's sort of, you know, when you're in the moment trying to win a game and Richard Seymour is not going to war with you, that's a little tough to swallow until you look at the big picture. Is that about it?
Yeah, and that's every year. I mean, you lose a player like it's tough. You lose certain guys. Let's say like Dan Graham, for example. You know, who's an incredible player for your team. You've won, you know, 2 Super Bowls with him. Great blocker. You know, good in the passing game, and then, you know, but the reality is, if you sign him back, then you can't afford to sign other guys.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, you are losing, a great player on offense, but you're gaining some other great players on defense, let's say. So the reality is, we're trying to win we're trying to win the game, you know, not have the most prolific offense or not have the defense that gives up the least amount of points, mm-hmm. you know, because you got to make sacrifice, you got to make trades, and every year some of the strengths of your team become not as strong, and the weaknesses become stronger. So you can't. That's why we always say, you know, you can't compare year to year, because every year there's different strengths and weaknesses, and how our offense will compare this year compared with last year, there's going to be differences. I mean, we may not be as productive as we were last year on offense, but maybe we'll have a better defense and we'll win just as many games, hopefully more games, or vice versa. So the goal is to win the game. You know, that's why, you know, the stats and all that, you know, it's fun to talk about, but, you know, you got to win the game.
Tom, I'd like to talk to you, if I could, about some loosely defined intangibles. You know, we've heard experience as an example and leadership. We've heard Bill Russell time and time again make the famous comment, experience don't mean bleep. Does that apply to leadership? How important, how do you wrap your hands around leadership and how important it is to a well-oiled football machine? And the reason I ask that question, defensively, leaders like Vrabel, Rodney Harrison, Teddy Bruschi, and now Richard Seymour have all left within a blink of an eye of one another. Leadership, the importance and the value of it.
Well, it's, I mean, I don't necessarily, well, you know, it's hard to contradict what Bill Russell says, but, you know, experience to me means a hell of a lot.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe an experience in playing, you know, do you have an advantage because we played in Super Bowls before? You know, I don't think that's much of an advantage, but I'd take a 7-year veteran over a rookie any day. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so hard for rookies or second-year players to contribute because they don't have the experiences. And it's hard. It's certainly, you know, it's very, you can't replace Teddy Bruschi and Rodney Harrison and Larry Izzo and Mike Vrabel. You can't. I mean, but like I said, there's got to be what we lose in leadership, maybe we have to make up for in other places. Well, along the way, you have to allow other people to improve their leadership abilities, like a Gerard May or a Gary Guyton or a Dalius. So I always feel that the leadership is extremely important because you set the example, especially for the younger players. Because the younger players, you know, the reality is they don't have the experiences, so it's hard for them to always make good decisions, whether it's on the field or off the field, because everything's so new to them. Where, you know, when you're an older player and you're an adult, you know, you don't tend to make very many bad decisions. And hopefully you can impose, you know, some wisdom and leadership on those players that haven't had the experiences, but will maybe look at you and identify with some of the things you went through and keep them from making some of the same mistakes, although that's pretty rare too.
What did Doc Rivers had to say to you guys, Tom?
He was great. I Coach Belichick, Coach Rivers, Coach Belichick brought him in because he said, you know, guys, Coach Rivers has played at the top of the profession, at the top of his profession for 13 years, played on a couple different teams, three or four different teams, I think, changed organizations a couple of times, had major surgeries. Then when he stopped playing, became a broadcaster and was really one of the better broadcasters out there. Then decided he wanted to coach and has become one of the better coaches. So it's hard to find someone who can relate to pretty much everybody in here. And he talked about his team and talked about his time as a player and talked about his championship team 2 years ago versus the team that they had last year. He's really got a great sense of humor and very candid with our team, and we all appreciated him coming down. I mean, Boston is such a great place because we have such great support, and he talked about Atlanta. He said, you know, they were in the game 7 one year when he was playing for the Hawks, and it was like game 7, and they had like 14,000 people show up to the game. They were going to the Eastern Conference Finals if they won. He said, you know, here we're getting, you know, it's sold out for, you know, damn near every night. So that's why it's great to play. And that's what that's a great source of motivation for our team and for the Celtics, the Red Sox, I mean, the support they get. So it's a special place that we play in, and I know we don't take it for granted. That's pretty awesome.
Hey, Tom, as a practical matter, how do Doc Rivers' words translate into something of value for the New England Patriots as you get ready to open the season?
Well, he's had all those kinds of experiences, so that's what the younger players can learn from, the older players mm-hmm. can learn from, the coaches can learn from. Things that he says that now that he's a coach, he wishes he would have known as a player. You know, and I think a big thing he talked about was just listening to the coach, you know. Just, they say it because, you know, that's what they see and that's what they want. And player, you think sometimes the coaches are, and this was a really insightful thought, that the coaches aren't on your side. You know, he says, once you realize the coaches and the players were on the same team, you know, it creates a different experience and environment for the guys. And you are on the same team, you know that, but, you know, a lot of times it's, you know, the coaches and players, and you're pissed off at the coaches because they're not playing you, or, you know, you don't like your role on the team. But when you understand that this is what they're looking for you to do to get the best out of the entire group, you know, and you buy into that, then you're willing to do whatever it takes.
On the subject of environment, is it a coincidence or just good fortune or something more designed that we don't see the police blotter filled with, you know, this linebacker choking this MTV star and this guy doing that and getting picked up for this and that and the other, like so many other teams? Coincidence, good fortune, or something more tangible, Tom?
Well, I think I love the fact that's not us, and it's something that Mr. Kraft has stressed to us since the day we walked in the door, and we represent the Patriots. We represent the his family. When Coach Belichick's drafting players, that's what he's looking for. I mean, you can't win to me if you have a couple, you know, jerks on the team. You know, it takes, you know, if you got two or three just, you know, guys who don't buy in or have poor practice habits and poor work habits, it takes a lot of guys to overcome those two or three, you know, and, you know, you might have 15 or 20 guys that need great leadership to overcome those two or three, and that's all wasted energy. You know, there goes preparation time toward the Buffalo Bills. Mm-hmm. Now you're trying to, you know, make sure everyone's practicing hard or finishing the drills or listening and not sleeping in meetings or, you know, or not buying into what the coach is saying. So that's tough to overcome. And it's really a distraction and detracts from what the concept of the team is. So I think that's really a credit to what Coach Belichick and Mr. Kraft see and what they've tried to bring in over the years. And then by the time you get in, you're surrounded by Teddy Bruschi and Rodney. And these are all guys that, you know, you talked about experience earlier. There's a reason why those guys play for a long period of time, because they make great decisions, because you know, they're always the ones that are paying attention in the meetings and practicing hard and training hard in the off season, training hard during the season. So it's pretty it's pretty unbelievable, you know, when to have the chance for me to be around all those guys, because, you know, I learned so much.
I'll bet you wish you had a famous girlfriend like Tila Tequila, though. did you ever watch her reality show, Tom? Because I did not. I've missed it.
No, I never. I don't. I watched The Shield. That's my show.
Yeah,
there you go.
There you go. Hey, I wanted to ask you. You talked about guys, you know, hating their coach and thinking their coach is out to get them. In Cleveland, your old friend Eric Mangini, 5 days from kickoff, has not announced who's starting.
Neither has Bill.
Do you think they know? Do you think Quinn and Derek Anderson, Brady Quinn and Anderson, do you think they know? And if not, is he not doing a disservice to both of them? Are they not a little anxious right now, wondering who's going to get the nod?
Yeah, I'm sure. I think I'm sure they know. I'm sure they have to know. I mean, the players, I'm sure, all know. We did that in college. I was a part of that in college.
Right, that's right.
Until, you know, one of the reporters called my dad. My dad was happy to tell him that I was starting. But that almost killed my dad for that.
Well, you platooned every quarter in college, right?
Well, I started.
Well, not...
And then this was my junior year. I started. No, it was my senior year. My senior year. I started. Then Drew Henson came in and played in the second quarter. And then Coach Carr determined who was going to play in the second half. Oh. Depending on who played who played better in the first half. So that was something but that was good. I mean, I learned a lot from that experience. So, you know, I'm sure those other two quarterbacks, that's part of being mentally tough. That's part of really putting the team first. And if you can excel in that environment, then that's going to be something special. And it's tough to do. If you can overcome it, you know, you're going to be that much better for it. Like most everything.
Boy, is Hoyer going to be disappointed when he finds out Brady's starting.
Hey, I guess we're destined for another season of reading the injury list, and it says Brady, probable, shoulder.
I can guarantee you that. I think, you know, Coach Belichick took me off that for the Super Bowl 2 years ago. So.
Oh, that's right.
There's got to be some to that. I don't think.
Hey, Matthews, Sam Bradford got the same injury, looks the same, you know, taken down the same way.
Yeah.
And he's out 2 to 4 weeks, so apparently you're a little tougher than Sam Bradford.
Well, I think I landed on the softer. I didn't have as big a guy land on him. I had Haynesworth.
Oh, yeah.
No, you had a much bigger guy land on you.
Hey, did you hate the Raiders growing up? I mean, as a Niner fan, do you automatically hate the Raiders?
I didn't even pay attention to the Raiders. Right. I mean, they were like, you know, they were the other team in the Bay Area. I mean, there were a few Raiders fans over in the East Bay, but it was all 49ers all through the Bay Area. So I never go over to Oakland. I didn't spend a lot of time in Oakland to watch the A's or the – every once in a while I'd go to the Warriors game because they're still in that Oakland-Alameda Coliseum complex. But it was all 49ers, so they were never much of an issue, never much of a factor into the – you know, the sporting public.
Ready for a hypothetical question?
Oh, I'm ready. I've been trying to think of hypotheticals for you guys.
Okay. Well, you can take your shot. All right. A team that decides to keep 5 running backs, Falk, Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, Lawrence Maroney, Sammy Morris, Fred.
This was hypothetical.
Taylor. No, I'm saying if a team were to keep 5.
Oh, I see.
Would we expect or would we be surprised to find out that the run-pass-pass-run ratio might be a little more even as opposed to being pass-happy if you're keeping 5 guys?
I hope it's more even. I mean, there's. I remember when we first got Corey Dillon. You know, we'd throw the ball on first down and it was incomplete, and then we hand it off on second down and he'd gain like 12 yards, and I'd be like, "This is kind of cool, you know. this is good. I like this, you know." And it'd be 1st and 10 again, and then hey, if you throw it again and you complete it, great. If you hand it off, now it's 2nd and 2. So. To be able to run the ball, there's no bigger fan of the run game than me. Believe me, I don't like going into these games going, okay, we're gonna have to throw this on every down. Mm-hmm. You know, if that comes to be a part of the situation that you're in the game, then yeah, that's no problem. But when you start the game, you want to be balanced, and that's the most difficult way to defend to be really offensive. As an offensive-minded team, when we played the Colts, and when they, you know, this was 4 years ago, when they, you know, they had a very prolific offense, you know, throwing to Wayne and Harrison and handing off to Edgerrin James, and I mean, Edgerrin James was as dangerous as those other two. So you need dual threat. I mean, you need to throw it, you need to run it, and you need to throw it when they know you're going to throw it, and you need to run it when they know you're going to run it. So. We have 5 great backs, as far as I'm concerned. Any of those guys can be starters, be productive. They all have their own little role on the team, and each one of them is going to, you know, hopefully have a great season, stay healthy, and be on the field. And you know, that's been something that was been tough for Lawrence and Sammy, and you know, we're going to need all 5 of those guys.
So. Teddy Bruschi called you yet for a Sunday conversation? I assume that he's a member of the media now. I assume he's going to be hanging around, you know, one of those pests, one of those green flies hanging around your locker.
Yeah, I can't wait to see Rodney. And,
that's right, Rodney too. Yeah. There'll be some
Rodney
competition.
Rodney and Brew, and you know, good for them. They're very they can add a lot. They're very insightful. They're very intelligent players. You know, they're real thinkers out there, so that can hopefully provide a lot of insight for people.
I heard Rodney commenting on Bruschi's departure and Bruschi on Rodney's, and they're talking about the fact that now, finally and at last, you can enjoy your life and not have to be anxious about playing professional football in the National Football League, which begs the question, are you anxious, Tom? Are there anxious moments, hours, days, as you ramp up to Monday Night Football and opening night?
I mean, I think you have an... Yeah, there are, and I relate. I think I understand totally what Rodney's saying, because you always have an edge to you. You know, on Tuesday you're thinking about, you know, how you're going to get ready for Wednesday's practice, and then you go on Wednesday and it's, you know, you're really preparing hard for Wednesday's practice. You go out to practice, you expend a lot of energy, emotional energy, then you're kind of tired Wednesday night, but you got to get ready for Thursday's practice. And then Thursday, it's the same thing. And then Friday, it's the same thing. And then Saturday, you're building toward the game. And then Sunday, you play, and you have all this emotion into the game. And whether you win or lose, you're spent by the end of the day. And then Monday morning, you wake up, and you're getting yelled at for Belichick by Belichick for all the things you didn't do right. And then he breaks the meeting, and then you're getting ready for, you know, Tuesday in your preparation for Tuesday. So it's a very, you know, it's a very pressurized environment. And there's never a moment to sit back and go, God, that's really, that was fun, man. That was, really enjoyed that. You know, maybe when the only time for me, I think, is, you know, when you play on the road and you have the flight home and the bus ride home. And those are the times probably that you're probably the most relaxed, you know, but it's just, it's up tempo, high pressure, 7 days a week. And I think that's challenging for the people in our life outside of the game that don't really understand that, because we get home at night and we're very edgy, and everything that's gone on throughout the day is, you know, you bring that home, and it's probably something that, you know, everybody is dealing with, but you know, it'll be definitely a nice relief when you don't have that a part of your life anymore.
Well, you forgot the one other very fun part, and that's talking to Jerry and John the morning after the game.
Yeah, I'm geared up for this phone call every Sunday night.
There you go. All right, Tom. Good talking to you. Good luck Monday night. We'll talk to you Tuesday morning.
All right, guys. Take care. Have a good week.
You too. Tom Brady with Dennis and Callahan. That